Good to see everybody. Amen. Are you ready for the Word of God today? All right. I want to start by sharing with you a story that happened to me yesterday morning. It hasn't happened to me since I was in second grade. I was so eager to preach. I preached this morning, first service, and this is my second service today. So I was so eager to preach. Saturday morning, I wake up with this thought. I have to preach. Oh, my goodness. I still have to prepare. And I was freaking out because I wasn't 100% ready. So I needed to get to church early in the morning to get prepared more. So I got up, got dressed, you know, shaved and everything. I mean, you know how you prepare for Sunday and everything. When I got here in the morning, I see nobody's here. And I'm like, what is going on? Did the rapture happen? Usually there's somebody here already who is opening the doors and there's nobody. Then I look at my phone. Then I was like, hold on, what day is it today? And I'm like, oh no. Really? Oh no. And it turned out to be, I look at my phone, it's a Saturday. I was like, oh, that's right. Yesterday was Friday. We worked yesterday. And I was so embarrassed. And I thought, should I post that on Facebook or not? You know, because people will laugh at me. And it hasn't happened to me since second grade. I remember I went to school at 3 a.m. Yeah, I was so eager to go to school. As nobody was there, it was still dark. On the way back, my mom met me in the courtyard. She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I went to school, mom, you know? In second grade, I was still into school. So as you can see, I love what I do. And sometimes 30 minutes on Sunday kind of is not enough for me. So I want to come here on Saturday. So if anybody wants to come here on Saturday, just let me know. I'll come here and preach to you. Hallelujah. Well, God is good. Amen. Has He been good to you? You having a good week? Even if you're going through something, just know this, that God will give you victory. He has before and He'll do it again. I was going through something this week and it wasn't pleasant. For the first 3 days, I felt like I was being attacked, you know, and nothing that I have done. And on the third day or on the fourth day, I felt the victory. And it's such a good feeling knowing that God will always come through. And He always came through for me before. And He will do it again. So whenever you're in a storm, just trust God that He will lead you out of it. Except when He leads you out of it, He gives you a grade. He grades you. How many of you know in the storm we get graded? That's a test, it's called. And when you have a B, it's not that good. You know you could have done better. Either the devil wants you to start talking bad about the person who's talking bad about you. Your grade goes down. Right? Bible says, bless those who curse you. And so when you get tested, the temptation is to start defending yourself. Start coming up with ways you can hurt other people. Because they're hurting you. But God is testing you. And sometimes, after you've been through a storm and you feel like I've passed it, I got an A-, or I got A+, or I got an A. Sometimes you get a B or a C or a D and you feel like, man, I'm going to have to go through this storm again. Shoot. Have you ever felt that? Where you didn't pass it and you know it. Nobody has to tell you. Pastor Alex doesn't have to tell it to you. You know on the inside that you didn't pass and you're going to have to do it again. And you're like, ah, God, really? I should have, you know, just hang in there. The thing is about storms that you want to complain. You want to murmur. And you know that murmuring and complaining is sin. When children of Israel, they murmured a lot. And God was just so upset with them. He's like, why are you murmuring? That's distrust. Don't allow your words to come out murmuring. But still, we're on a journey. Amen. All right. Today we're going to continue studying the kingdom of God. How many of you are excited about this series? The kingdom of God. How many of you understand more of God? I think it really helps us to know that God is not some Yoda in the sky. He's not an old grandpa who is, who's religious leader. God is not religious leader. We made God all about religion. It's not. God is a king. And if we begin to understand that, our perspective of Christianity will change. Your prayer will be different. If you know who you are, you know that the Bible says that my people perish because of not enough knowledge. Lack of knowledge. They don't understand enough things because they just don't study it. And so God is not a religious leader. He's not an old man in the sky. He's not a puffy guy with a harp sitting in a cloud. He's not a man with lightning ready to strike somebody. God is a king. In order for him to be a king, he has to have a kingdom. That kingdom is called the kingdom of heaven or kingdom of God. It's not this kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. There's terrestrial bodies and there's celestial bodies. God is a king of heaven. He's a king of spiritual world. He's got a very good kingdom in heaven. Very comfortable. But the thing about kings is they like to expand their territory. And so God decided to create the heavens and the earth and stars. And notice that God didn't just put one star in heaven. Look how rich he is. He didn't just put sun, moon, and one star. That would be enough, right? But God is so rich that he took and just spread those stars so much that computers today, modern computers, cannot count all the stars. God is rich in creativity. God is a king. And what do you do with that creativity? You create. Jesus said, my Father works and I work. You know that God in heaven doesn't just sit on the throne. He works. He works for you and me on our behalf. And who knows what else he's doing. It's not given to us to know till we, pass that great divine or whatever you call it. But God is at work right now. God is doing things. Amen. So he created Adam and Eve and he put them on earth and he wanted them to have the same thing he has in this world. And the thing about that was that Satan, who wanted to be like God in heaven, and Jesus said, I saw Satan thrown down from heaven like lightning. And now he came here. And Satan cannot create anything, so he has to take it. He has to steal it. He has to pervert something, right? He can't create music. God created music. He has to take and pervert it. He can't create sex. God created sex. He has to take it and pervert it. He can't create any plants, so he takes plants that maybe were designed for something else, and he perverts it and destroys lives of people with certain plants, right? And so he came, and he wanted to destroy this place. And Adam was so naive. God said, if you eat of this fruit, you will die. One rule, that's it. And Adam ate. And Satan says, no, you won't die right away. You won't die right away. But eventually what happens? Everybody dies. Now, so we're studying more of this kingdom of God. Let's open to Matthew 6. 33. Lots of scriptures today. They will be up on the screen. Let's read this. The main message of Jesus. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So the first priority, the first command that Jesus gave to his disciples, that's you and me, is to seek first the kingdom. Now notice he didn't say seek only kingdom of God. No. He didn't say something else. Seek the kingdom of God is the only thing you need. No, he said seek first the kingdom. Which means is you also have to seek and get a job. But not first. First you have to go and seek the kingdom of God. Meaning you have to understand what it is. How do you seek the kingdom? The same word you seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek the kingdom of God. God wants you to understand who you are. The message of Jesus was, seek the kingdom. How did he teach us to pray? Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God wanted us to live according to principles that are in heaven on earth. You know there is two kingdoms in this world. The kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness. Kingdom of Satan. You know what Satan means in Hebrew? Persecutor, accuser. You know when you get when you break the law and you go to court and there's persecutor and he's merciless? He's like, judge, I want to put him in prison. Never been in a situation. Well, look at you. Satan means persecutor, accuser of brethren, Bible calls him. And God wants you to know the rules of this kingdom. There's two kingdoms. If you became a Christian, you're not a part of the kingdom of darkness anymore. You are a part of kingdom of his dear son. Amen. And when you switch kingdoms, there's different cultures in different kingdoms. When I lived in Ukraine, we had one culture. We couldn't smile. If you smiled, you get punched in the face. Right? When we came to America, you had to smile, because if you didn't smile, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? Are you depressed? You know? So you had to smile. Every kingdom has its own culture. Every kingdom has its own laws and rules. And so when God says, seek first the kingdom, he wants you to seek the rules, the culture, the behavior, everything. If you come to another country, you would have to be like those people. Well, adapt to that country. You have to behave like them. You have to speak like them. You can't just speak how you spoke in your other language, right? You have to speak, in our country, we have to speak English. Amen. Same with the kingdom of God. We have to, that's what Jesus says, seek a different way of living in a different kingdom. And all those other things will be added onto you. And I said 2 weeks ago, what a shame if all you did in life was seek a job and a paycheck. That's a sorry existence. There's much more. God has a bigger plan for you. Amen. Now, every kingdom has constitution. What is constitution? It's the rights and privileges that the king set up between himself and his people, right? So in our nation, we have a constitution. The constitution says that I have freedom of speech, freedom to bear, right to bear arms. I have right to practice commerce as long as I pay taxes. I have a right to run my own business. Amen. I have a right for a court to be, what is it called? What's the law called when trial by a jury? That's my legal right. And it's not just my legal right. It's all of ours legal right. So you need a constitution. Every kingdom has a constitution. What did we say last time? What is the constitution? Our constitution in our kingdom, in a kingdom of God. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the promises. God says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish. That's a promise. Amen. Another promise he gives us, do not worry about what you will eat or drink. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Do you know something about kings? Kings want their people to be blessed. Why? Because people are a reflection of a king. When Solomon was a great king, and people from all over the world, different kings and Queen Sheba came, right? She said, man, your people are so blessed. That means you are blessed. If the king is poor and weak, then the people will be poor and weak. But our God is not poor and our God is not weak. Our God is a great God, and he wants you to know that he will supply all of your needs. That's a promise. Amen. So every kingdom has constitution. God has given you your right. And sometimes Satan comes to you and says, you're nobody. Satan says, you're supposed to be poor. Now, we are supposed to preach the gospel to the poor. But listen, after you heard the gospel, you're not supposed to stay in a place where you started. Some people just don't get it. They think that poor is a virtue. And if you want to be poor, that's okay. But listen, the Bible also says, preach the gospel to the sick. So if we preach the gospel to the sick, what's the good news if I'm going to stay sick? Gospel is good news. Amen? So when you preach gospel to good news to the poor, that means you can get out of your poverty. Poverty is a spirit. It's a mindset of lack. It makes you jealous of other people. It makes you envious. And God says, listen, son, all that I have is yours. Poverty is not a good state to be, not unless you want to. You can take an oath of poverty for the Lord's sake, and that would be good. Now, I'm not talking about you being rich either. Bible says he who desires to be rich falls into different temptations. God wants you to be blessed. It's not about the money. But you know, the poor man always thinks about money. Rich man always thinks about money. David says this, Lord, don't make me poor so I would steal and be jealous and be angry at other people. But don't make me rich, because if I become rich, I might not need you anymore. Feed me with my daily bread. Give me enough. And God says, I'll give you more than enough. That's our God. Do you believe that? That's the kingdom of God. Kingdom citizens have to reflect the king. And our God, I mean, come on, gold streets, really? I mean, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So every kingdom has a constitution. Do you know your rights? I know you know your rights as American. And we say a lot, especially in school, it's a freedom of speech. I can say what I can do what I want. Well, good. Do you know your rights? When Satan says to you something, when he makes you depressed, do you know your rights? When you are a part of a different kingdom, they cannot touch you. You know the Bible calls us ambassadors? What is an ambassador? Ambassador, let me explain to you what is ambassador. Ambassador is a person who goes from, like, let's say, United States ambassador to China. Goes to China, one person, and represents the laws, the culture, the intent of the government in China. Do you know that where ambassador lives is not China territory, although it's in China? It belongs to United States. How many of you know that? Bible calls us ambassadors. We're in this world, but everywhere we at is the kingdom of God territory. Hold on. Did you get it? Ambassadors cannot be persecuted. So let's say American ambassador to China cannot be persecuted by, prosecuted. That's the right word. Thank you. Cannot be prosecuted by the Chinese. Because where they at, that place belonged to United States. Do you know that he still lives according to the laws of the United States? Although he is in China. Study what is ambassadors. Because God calls us ambassadors. We are, and the ambassadors represent the intent of the kingdom they represent. So when somebody comes from China and says to the ambassador of the United States, says, what is your position on certain issue of the law? He says, I don't have a position. But my government's position is so and so. A lot of you, you're ambassadors. And when somebody comes to you and says, what do you think about, can I touch that subject? I don't want to touch that subject. What do you think about homosexual marriage? Well, you know, I think this. Well, if you're a religious person, yeah, you have a right to express it. But if you're an ambassador, you say what? I don't represent my own opinion. I represent my government. And whatever my government says, that's what I say. I don't have an opinion. Well, I do. It fits with my government. Yeah. So when you get asked, what is your position on certain things? I don't have a position, but my government, but let me tell you about my government. Do you know it's illegal for an ambassador to represent his own position? He is there to represent the position of his government. Hallelujah. Do you know that when an ambassador goes to another country, all of his debts are wiped out by the government? Why? Because government doesn't want you to think about finances. He doesn't want you to do extra business on the side. He wants you to represent purely the interests of the government. That's why when Jesus was living on earth, he says, do not worry. I got you. If you seek my kingdom and if you represent my kingdom in this world, if you become my ambassador, I will cover it. Some of us are like, really? It doesn't work like that in the real world. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because if you lost your job, God will still provide for you. He will find a way to provide for you, take care of you. Every government has constitution. Next, every government must have laws. Why do we need laws? To uphold that constitution. See, you're not the only one in the kingdom. There's other people. And you're good, but maybe somebody else is not good. So you need laws to protect people. You know the Ten Commandments? Sometimes we look at Ten Commandments and we think that, why does God give us those things? But Ten Commandments, most of them are designed to protect me from you. When it says, do not lie. Who is that protecting, God or your neighbor? What difference it is to God if you lie or not? How is that going to hurt him?
What is wrong with this mic?
What's the difference if you Bible says do not, one of the commandments says do not steal. How is that going to, can you steal from God? Can you jump high enough and take something from him? Well, maybe I could dig deep enough and find some gold. He says, all of that is yours. You are the ruler of this earth. It's yours. If you find it, it's yours. Go dig it. Go dig for it, So it's yours. So you can't steal nothing from God. But guess what? You can steal from your neighbor. And so God wants, if you understand kingdom, it's not just about one person. It's about society. How it can work together. And so God says, do not steal. It has nothing to do with him. It has to do with one another. He wants his sons and daughters to be happy. He doesn't want me to feel like I've been robbed. Now I have to go get you. When God says, do not commit adultery. He doesn't want me to commit adultery and then have some other man come and shoot me. And commit murder. You see how it all goes? Another commandment, don't commit murder. It's not about him. It's about us. He wants to protect us. Why do we have traffic laws? Why do we have red light that you have to stop on? It's so you can protect the right of another driver. Amen? So let's say you decide to go on a red light. You feel suicidal and you're like, I don't care. I'm going to go on a red light. Well, please, you can control your own life, but please don't put somebody else's life in your hands. Please don't do it. I still want to live. Leave that to me. Let me decide about my life. So God says, there's laws. Do you understand why there's laws in society? It's to protect you. You might be a good person, but somebody else might not be. And so God says, I want to protect you. And so that's why kingdoms have laws. God has laws. And if we follow those laws, we will be successful. If we break those laws, there's also penalties for breaking the law. So do you see why it's important? Sometimes people say, God's law is bad. We don't need it. Who cares? But as soon as that law was broken in their life, somebody broke the law in their life, guess what? We want revenge. We want justice. We want protection. Law is very important in a kingdom. Everything God created has laws. Do you know that? There's natural laws, there's moral laws, and there's spiritual laws. Let me give you a few natural laws. Law of motion, right? Law of gravity. Try breaking law of gravity. You can't. It'll break you. Try breaking it. If you want to be successful, Bible says, and we're going to read that from Joshua, if we can put that scripture up, then you have to follow the law. You know that natural law for a fish is to live in the water. As soon as it gets out of the water, what happens? It dies. Amen. So laws are designed and they were inherent, meaning from the beginning. God put them in without asking you or me. He made them work. There's law of gravity. There's law of electricity. You know, say, well, I know there's law of electricity, but I can play around with it. Some of us like to break laws, especially moral laws. Notice, we're pretty good about not breaking the laws of electricity. Nobody comes and says, I'll fool around with this a little bit. I'll stick my two fingers or two forks inside there. And let's see what happens. You know, I heard somebody did it and didn't die. Notice we don't mess with laws of natural laws because we know they work every single time. So there's another law of aerodynamics. That's what makes plane lift from the ground. All right. There's law of thermodynamics. There's law of physics. And there's law of biogenesis. And there's just law of contradiction and non-contradiction. There's tons of laws out there. And scientists spend time and study them and discover them so we can use them and be successful. We use electricity, and today we have light here and no windows. Okay? We have light because we use it for our benefit. Do you know that law of aerodynamics existed in Adam's time, Adam and Eve's time? But guess what? Because they didn't know about it, they couldn't fly. Simple, huh? So, you know, we came up with the law of aerodynamics, or who are those guys who came up with? Wright brothers, right? Yeah, in 1902, I think. Someone in there, they came up, they discovered that law. And they used it, and we have airplanes right now. We have 500,000 pounds airplanes flying in the sky. How do you do that? They discovered the law. But was the law there in Adam and Eve's time? What about Noah's time? Yeah. What about Abraham's time? It was there, but because they didn't know it, they couldn't use it. There's probably more laws that today we don't use. When Jesus was walking on water, I'm just thinking, what law did he discover? No, seriously. God submits himself to his own laws. Spiritual laws. What is it that made water solid concrete under his feet? And Peter says, can I walk too? And Jesus says, go ahead. And Peter puts his one foot and the water is solid. Second foot, ha! Then he looks to the side, oh, big waves. Starts drowning. Fisherman starts drowning. It's bad. So, obey the laws and they help you achieve your life purpose. Disobey them and they break you. A lot of us get to a place in life where we're like, how did we get here? Why am I in this mess? Laws. You broke some laws. Something happened. Somewhere. And see, God cares about his sons and daughters. You're not just a number to him. You're not just another microbe. Bible says you have more value than the birds of the air. Every hair on your head is counted, is numbered. You're more than these birds and fish and everything else and lilies of the field. To God, you're the top of creation. You're his sons and daughters. And he wants you to know these things. But see, most people have been taught that laws are bad and all they are is to make you religious and imprison you in religious system. And religious people have done, they did mess up some of that. Because without understanding kingdom, you are only religious. And God hated, Jesus hated religious people. He called them Pharisees. He called them serpents. He called them snakes. Not just snakes, what did he say? Vipers. And he says, you are the nest of vipers. He hated religious people. Have you ever thought about it? We have a lot of religious people. Now they call themselves spiritual. I'm spiritual, I'm not religious. Same thing. Unless you know the kingdom, unless you seek it, unless you understand it, it's hard to live as a Christian. And let me tell you this, it's going to be even harder to live as a Christian. Another word for law is normalizing. Another word for law is normalizing. And in our culture, the reason we need God's law so bad, because our culture will start normalizing certain things. And after you normalize it, you begin to want it. After you want it, you begin to expect it. And after you expect it, you'll make laws according to it. That's why abortion was, 100 years ago, was a big, big problem. And later, it was normalized. And before you knew it, it was okay. Same with homosexuality. 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was, nobody talked about it even. Now it's like everywhere. That every movie has a gospel of that. Every movie has a something against God said in it. Or mocked or you know, against God. And so you think about it. Before you know it, you won't be able to practice free speech. Because it's going to be called hate speech. Because we're going to make a law. But God says, I have one law. And if you, and every culture needs it, because if you don't have one God's law, what's going to happen? Cultures are going to create their own laws. So what's going to happen in a place, somewhere in the jungle, in Brazil or somewhere, where they eat people? Let's make a law. If you are this short, or if you're this big, or if you are this tall, we're going to eat you. That's the law. See, we can't rely on societies, human societies, by themselves. That's why we need God's law. You know that our constitution is made based on God. That's why we call it Judeo-Christian society. Because it's made on God's laws. Well, in our culture, we sacrifice babies, you know. Okay. No, I'm not talking about our culture or anything. You know, in some cultures, they sacrifice babies. So they can make a law because it's normalized, right? What's normal? You can put it into law, and the stronger law is, do you know that unwritten law is the strongest law? The unwritten law is the strongest law? How? Because it's in your heart. You know what Adam was created? He didn't have any laws. He didn't have a book. You know, we weren't designed to have a Bible at first. It wasn't. Do you know that Adam didn't have a Bible? He didn't have worship services? Why do we have to have this today? Well, because we walked away so far from the laws of God that we have to teach him. But you know the Bible says there will be one day when God says, I will put my laws in their heart. And they won't need teachers anymore. They won't need preachers anymore. Because everyone will worship God from their heart. That day is still coming. The best law is the one in the heart. And through Jesus Christ, when Holy Spirit comes in, guess what? You have a new law inside of your heart. You don't follow this law so much anymore. You follow a new law. The law of the Spirit of life. Bible says the law of... Can we put that on the screen? Let me see. Romans 8:2. Let's put Romans 8:2, guys. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, what is the law of sin and death? That's Moses' law. Now, is the law sinful? No, the law is perfect. But every time the law comes into my knowledge, it makes me sinful. And the power of death is the law, Bible says in Hebrews. I know this is kind of a lot of a lot to swallow, but you gotta get this. You're not too shallow to get this. I've been teaching you for years. You gotta get this. I know some churches, you know, you go and it's just basic, you know, how to live, but you gotta know more. You gotta know more because people perish, Bible says, because of lack of knowledge. Hallelujah. So there's physical laws, natural laws. There's also spiritual laws. Let me name for you some spiritual laws. We've studied this one recently, the law of sowing and reaping. A lot of us, we're in a mess and we're like, what happened? Bible says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will reap. The problem with spiritual laws, that they have different timing than physical laws. When you jump off a 9-story building, you get an instant law working for you. If you break the law of aerodynamics, your plane starts going from this way to this way, right? But the spiritual laws are different. It started actually in the Garden of Eden. Let me explain. Satan says to, God says, if you eat of this fruit, you will die. Okay? Satan says, you will not die. What happens? And it's true, they didn't die as soon as they eat it. They lived 900 years. But eventually what happened? The spiritual law that they broke killed them. So there's timing difference. With physical laws, if you put your finger in an electrical outlet, you'll get instant results. But with the spiritual laws, they don't happen right away. Whatever a man shall sow, he will also reap. Reaping happens after sowing. Sometimes 3 months, sometimes some trees are 5 years to 20 years. And sometimes we sow one seed and we're like, oh, I didn't get punished. Oh, good. I think I can walk on air now, like in cartoons, you know. I'll sow another one. Before I know it, there is a forest. And I've been sowing all around me. Now I don't know where to go. I'm screwed up. And that's why Bible says that people don't fear God because his laws, spiritual laws, don't, because God is merciful. Long-suffering, Bible says, right? He doesn't punish you right away because he's waiting for you to recognize his goodness. But some people spit on his goodness and say, wow, he doesn't do anything. Wow, then I can do whatever I want. And people have been breaking laws and our society is suffering. This week, I heard on the radio that they're going to start giving STD shots to 9-year-old boys because sexual diseases is so spread in our society. And they're saying we can't stop it. So we're going to try to protect people better. See that sexual revolution started in the 60s? Now, I'm not judging anybody. So don't you go and start judging people. We're in school right now. Have you ever been to a driver's school? They teach you laws. But you don't go out and start telling, hey, you're not following the law. Hey, you're not following the law. You know that I learned? You're not following the law. No, the job, it's for you to follow the law. You're not supposed to go point out to people how they're not following the law. Have you ever been driving and went on yellow, almost red, and somebody says, what are you doing? You know? I know. So church is like school. We learn here about God's law and about God. And we're to apply it in our life, not for our neighbor. I'm not here to say, remember what pastor said? I am the pastor, so. Anyway, what am I talking about? Traffic laws. Help me out. What was I? Sexual revolution, yeah. And now it's biting us in a behind. Yeah. Gotta be careful now. Now little girls in Texas, governor, I heard this recently, passed a law that all girls 11 years old must have a cervical shot or something like that. Because, why? Because we got problems. We got big problems in our society. We've been sowing, and now we're just on the tips of reaping. So what does God want to do? God want to protect you from your neighbor so the society can work together, because you're not the only special one. There's more special people. Now, can God heal? Yes, He can heal. I believe He can heal sexual diseases. I really do. But why would you want to even go there? You know, let me break my leg so God can heal it. No, don't do that. Let me put my leg in a chipper and see what God can do. No, don't do that. Let me try my head in there, see how it works. Can God fix? Yes. Can angels of God carry somebody when they fall? Yes. But don't you jump. Like Satan says, it's written, jump from this temple and your angels will carry you. He says, don't tempt the Lord your God. Don't. I'm not suicidal, devil. Don't try to make me one. When we follow the laws of God, they help us achieve success in life because they are predictable. If we break them, they break us. And at the end of the life, we start, not at the end of the life, we don't follow the rules of society. We don't go to school. We don't work hard. And then we blame other people for our mischiefs. I'm in debt. Yes, it must be somebody else's fault. Yes, it probably is, but it's also as much as your fault. I got into a car accident. Yes, because maybe you were going too fast. Not always, but do you see what I mean? Hallelujah. So the reason God put laws in this universe, especially moral laws, is so He can protect you. So you don't live 50 years and die. He wants you to live a long life. Amen? He wants you to live a good life. I used to hate the law. Traffic laws especially. Have you hated traffic laws? You have to have insurance, you know. Until I got hit by somebody who didn't have insurance. Started loving insurance thing. Amen? When I got hit by somebody who didn't stop on a stoplight. Ooh, I started realizing the laws are good. And you know, when we're young, we want to hate the laws of God. But they're good for us. Okay? When Moses went up the mountain and God gave him the Ten Commandments, he came down and brought, he says, God gave me a law to protect you guys. And there it says, and they started yelling, yes, we can do it. Yes, we can. You know, do you remember that scripture? They said, we can do it. And Moses is like, oh, don't say it. Because the thing about the laws of God, that none of us could keep them. Although we should love